Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Joining us on the Say Tama Hotline, he's the host of the J-Boy Show podcast. You can get it on the Volume Sports Podcast Network and a lot of other outlets, Spotify, iTunes. Jay Crane, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I appreciate y'all having me on.
Appreciate you coming on, bud. And I don't know if you heard me, Jake, but I'm going to tell you, man, this season, I just keep waiting to see what happens next, because I was going to bed last night thinking I was going to dive into more Lincoln Riley today, and then, well, Brian Kelly showed up in my dreams.
Yeah, well, it's always a crazy situation when you can't make your mind up what's the crazier situation, what's going on the field or what's going on off the field. It's like I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal in The Perfect Storm when his dad realizes that we're pretty much in trouble. The waves are coming.
That would make me George Clooney, right?
Yeah, I think it would make you Randy Quaid, but close enough.
Ow!
Or Dennis Quaid. Not Randy Quaid. Dennis Quaid. My fault.
I'll be Mark Wahlberg.
Two totally different tracks there.
We're joined by Jake Crane. Follow him on Twitter at the J-Boy Show. Brian Kelly going to LSU. You know, our friend Ivan Mazel talks about fit all the time and that it's all about the fit. How good of a fit is Brian Kelly going to LSU? Obviously, the opportunities there, I think, are more significant than they are at Notre Dame. But what about fit? Is Brian Kelly the guy to get the most out of those opportunities?
Yeah, you know, the fit is interesting to me. I saw a tweet yesterday. I thought it was hilarious. They said, Brian Kelly looks like a guy who thinks Sprite is too spicy. How is he going to fit in at LSU? You know, I look at Brian Kelly. You know, he's not warm and cuddly. He's not a guy that the people in Baton Rouge are going to fall in love with his personality and his sense of humor and all this, that, and the other. But he's not being brought in there to have a sense of humor. He's being brought in there to win. He had a lot of success at Notre Dame, albeit, you know, they weren't in the conference. But, you know, they played well against opponents until they got to the playoff. I think Brian Kelly just got tired of going to the playoff and watching both sides of his line of scrimmage get blown up because they don't have the tight players. And, you know, when you look at LSU and you look at fit, right, well, what does fit mean? Will you be able to recruit there? How will the people respond to you? You know, is it something where you guys would be able to gel if it's not going good? And that's what I look at it with Brian Kelly. If it's not going good on the field, which – you know, first year, you never know how it's going to go. You're getting used to the players. The players are getting used to you. There's really no idea. If it's going bad, Brian Kelly isn't the guy that's going to woo you in the press conference and hold you and rock you and make you believe everything's going to be okay. So that's what I'm waiting to see. But lucky for him, LSU really recruits itself. That state produces a ton of talent, and nobody's spurning LSU for McNeese State, at least the last time I checked.
You know what? To your point, that you kind of just described Bill Belichick in a lot of ways. And, you know, his success is undeniable. And I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Well, I think you might.
Only difference, Bill Belichick wins in the playoffs.
Oh, ouch. He's dropping the mic. Excellent. Jake Crane, follow him on Twitter at the J-Boy Show. Jake, I'm of the mind that Brian Kelly will get there and it'll take a little bit. But by a little bit, I'm meaning 5 or 6 games. And then by the second half of next season, LSU could be a real force when he's able to really cook now that he'll have the good groceries. What's your estimation? How long do you think it would be before Brian Kelly can get it rolling?
You know, first off, I've heard a lot of phrases, but they'll be ready to cook because they got the good groceries, just maybe at the top of the list, man. That was pretty good.
Thanks, man.
You know, nowadays, yeah, I was talking last night on a podcast about, you know, it's so much easier to flip a program nowadays. Now, LSU is a program that you can turn around very quickly. It's like Billy Napier at Florida. You can turn that place around really quickly. But especially with the new transfer rules, especially with the new intake rule, where now you can sign 32 guys a year on scholarship to kind of shield from guys leaving when the coach leaves before you come in or before you're announced. So I think you could see LSU. I mean, the days, in my opinion, of it taking 3-4 years in a recruiting cycle at a major place, like a USC with Lincoln Riley, like an LSU with Brian Kelly. It's not like they don't have good players there still. even though Eli Ricks said he's still going to hit the portal with Brian Kelly coming in, you can flip it really quick. I mean, it's turning into college basketball at the end of the day.
Jake, I asked Mark Richt this question. I want to get your take on it. You know, Notre Dame's still very much in the mix for the college football playoffs. And then if what happens happens that we think is going to happen, and that being Luke Fickell being offered the Notre Dame job, if he were to accept that, obviously that would impact Cincinnati. Do you think that'll be on the minds of the college football playoff selection committee tonight? And if not tonight, then when they send out the final rankings over the weekend?
I don't know how it's not. You know, to me, it's like, I forget what movie it is, but it's like, you know, getting raided and arrested at your wedding. You know, it's just, you know, it's just a bad look. It's just not, you can't hide that. You can't sweep that under the rug. And what I'm interested to see, guys, because, look, after this season on the field with the carnage we've seen, with the parity we've seen, if it gets into a debate where the fourth seed, we're debating over two lost teams, they're going to put Bama in. I'm just telling you guys. But I don't know how the committee, and I'm very interested to see what Gary Barta says, because he always says something not very intelligent each week when they ask him, like, well, set the games aside. We think Michigan's better than Michigan State before all this hoopla. Now, it turned out it's looking like he's right, but they lost a head-to-head on the field and never used the term set the games aside. That's not a good look. So I don't know how you sweep that under the rug. And it just goes to show, and we've been saying it on the show, Notre Dame doesn't have the juice. You know how you get the juice? It's the definition of privilege. Like, it's unbelievable. Join a conference. You're not the best-looking girl at the dance anymore. Yeah, just, it is what it is.
That kind of mirrors Jim Harbaugh. Some guys are standing on third base, think they hit a triple.
Yeah, well, it blows my mind. Like, well, you know, Notre, every time you get there, you get slapped around. It's not like you played them close. Oklahoma's been there four times. Three of the times they've gotten destroyed. But the one time against Georgia, it was a hell of a game. Y'all put up a fight. Every time Notre Dame gets in the playoff, they just get shoved in the locker like the weak kid at high school. I mean, how many times do we have to see the same movie over and over again? And now when we move to 12, they're proposing that since Notre Dame won't join a conference, they can't finish in the top four and they won't get a bye. I don't know what else they need to be told. You're not the best-looking girl at the dance anymore. I'm sorry. You've been weighed, you've been judged, and you've been found wanting.
Joined by Jake Crane. Jake, what kind of hit does this put, or deliver rather, on Oklahoma's brand? I mean, allegedly one of the blue-blooded programs in America, but it had its coach snatched away in the middle of the night. What does it say about Oklahoma, and what do they do going forward?
You know, I think it says more about Lincoln Riley than it does about Oklahoma, in my opinion. Oklahoma's going to be fine. Look, they're joining the SEC. You know, it's going to take them a couple years to get adjusted. You're going to take some lumps, but you're joining the Death Star. And the longer you stay in the Death Star, the more cool stuff you can put on your ship. And Oklahoma has the capability. They have the resources. They have the campus, the on-field stadium that's electric, the atmosphere, all that Jumpman, you know, they're sponsored by Jordan. So I'm not worried about Oklahoma. I think it says more about Lincoln Riley. He said, you know, I think it'll be easier for me to make the playoff out here at USC. I just got to worry about Oregon, Utah every now and then. Maybe if Chip gets hot and gets the right guy at quarterback, UCLA, as opposed to, you know, going to the SEC. But I talked, it's a binary choice. You have people that want to know how they stack up. Like some guy like Brian Harsin, he came all the way out west to Auburn because he had to know, how do I stack up against the best? I don't want to be an 85-year-old man, wrinkly and sick, and telling my grandkids stories and say, well, you know, I was going to coach against Nick Saban on the reg and Jimbo Fisher on the reg, but I wanted to go out to USC because I thought it would be easier. Some other guys feel like they got more stability, security, and success. If they go out there, they got a better chance. So, you know, it's just a binary choice. What type of guy are you?
Well, I think you just described Brian Kelly. He's hopping into the deep end.
Yeah. No, yeah, listen, you can say what you want about Brian Kelly. He's not scared. He's not scared at all. And, you know, he probably doesn't overcook his brisket either.
We're joined by Jake Crane, host of the J-Boy Show. Jake, we just got some news. Our friend Brett McMurphy at the Action Network reporting that Virginia Tech is about to announce a coach, man. They're going to announce defensive coordinator Brent Pry from Penn State as the next head coach of Virginia Tech. So that kind of shocked me. I thought that was Jamie Chadwell's job. I really did. I was hoping for it.
Well, you know, you started hearing a lot of Bill O'Brien talk here late at Virginia Tech. Surprised a little bit, not that Brennan's a good coach. I was surprised they didn't go with Jamie or they didn't try and go get Bill, even though it hadn't been super stellar offensively at Alabama, especially as of late. But look, I mean, Virginia Tech's an interesting place. It needs to be ran by an interesting guy, and Brent's definitely that.
Yeah, I wasn't on the Bill O'Brien train. He's part of the Ted Roof coaching tree, so that doesn't really wow me.
that's slowly turning into a bush.
He's the host of the J-Boy podcast on the Volume Sports Podcast Network. You can get it on Spotify, iTunes. Follow him on Twitter at the J-Boy Show. Jake, appreciate you coming on short notice, man. Have a good morning.
Anytime. Appreciate it, guys.
All righty. It's Jake Crane of the J-Boy Show.